This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So tomorrow, like, you going to this park? You tell me about that park.
Yeah, Skip Park, man. So Skip Park, it's actually, like, when I was a kid, growing up in that area, it was a nice playground, right? But they tore everything out, and they put all these brands. So it's like almost like a half-ass amusement park, but like a big playground, right? So like they have all these new slides and contraptions that are supposedly like just a kid's fucking dream. So my dad's taken her there a couple times with my daughter, and she like loves it. She talks about it all the time. Skip Park. You know, she can put two words together now. So she said Skip Park enough times where it's like, all right, dad's got to go see what Skip Park's all about now. Yeah. So,
well, it's pretty good too. Check it out.
Phony chess. Yeah. Phony chess. Huh. Phony chess. Let's get it. Phony chess, huh? Phony chess, hey, hey. Phony chess, this a trade show. Patreon where the trades go. Tap in and watch, that's what you came for. Ain't gotta say my name, they know my name, bro.
What's good, man?
We got McNutted in ATM. Always start off the show with a trade from them. You should always make sure that your trade is in. Patreon, why not be a Patreon? Know you wish you could spend every day with them. Tap in and say what you gonna say with them. Stop home, can fill up a stadium. Next time you log in, make sure that you bring a friend. We about to kick off, let the day begin. Go follow the socials. 40 Chess FF is posted. If your trade is an F, you get roasted. Go like and subscribe for the crew. Apple, Spotify, and the YouTube. You know Cooper got the wall too. Let us give you a walkthrough. 40 Chess. This is 40 Chess.
Listen, I didn't mind doing that stuff. I used to take my kids, my youngest one, to the River Museum here in Dubuque, the Mississippi River Museum. And that kind of stuff's fun because it tires them out. Dude, you come back, you're like, we're going to do lunch, and then you're going to go to bed.
That nap time is going to be fantastic. She'll be down. But when she comes back, I can tell when they've gone to Skip Park because she just like, when he hands Aubrey to me, she just like puts her head right on my shoulder and just like,
we done.
She's wiped, you know? We've been out in the sun all day running like crazy. We're ready to go to bed, Dad.
We done. I imagine that's how DB feels. So what we're going to do here, 40 Chess, we're back. A couple weeks off here after the post-NFL draft, but we're back again. DB has been working his ass off tirelessly. He probably looks like Jimmy Butler in the bubble playoff game, just leaning on the bench.
Yeah, put the hands all over and the elbows right on that bench, man. That was an awesome gift.
So what this came from is I had some really good discussions, and you see the nonsense on Twitter all the time about this rookie's going to do this and this rookie's going to do this. And I saw a lot of stuff. You and I, Adam, have had discussions about people taking Javon Baker over Jalen Polk. Like, what the fuck are we doing? NFL draft capital tells you that's dumb idea. Why? But people do this stuff all the time. They get so locked into player takes that they refuse to look at the actual data. So there's this thing called rookie hit rate charts. And they've been around in different formats for a few years. We've used some in the past. But I always thought they were kind of lacking, too, because you look at them and it's like top 24 season, top 12 season. Is that points per game? Is that overall? And then we're sitting here and I'm going, we have this great-ass tool to help us cut through all the points per game bullshit, cut through all the end-of-the-year finish, like how people talk about them. We got warp. Why don't we get an average and get based on warp? Okay. So just like the quarterback episode that we did, framework for quarterbacks, I started with a league, just generic, basic league, 12-team, super flex, lineup start 10, PPR, no extra like bullshit, right? Just the basics, right? The most vanilla thing I could think of. That's how I did the quarterback framework episodes. This is the league we're basing off of. So DB was a soldier and went through and pulled rookie warp data all the way back to 2007, Adam. So a
back
giant,
to our warp existence. Let's go.
A giant fucking sample of warp. Now, this is going to be a multi-part episode. We will get to the actual hit rate charts and why people are being stupid. But the first one, I just wanted to put the framework out there. 2007 draft class onwards. That's what we're working with. The basics of the league setting, Adam. I'm going to go ahead and pull it up here, and I'll share the screen of this incredible table. And what we're going to talk about today is going to be this part right here. So this is just looking at rookies who hit a 1.0 warp or better in their rookie season.
Okay. So in first year. Got it.
So we're going to talk about everybody going back to 2007, where they came from, what round they were drafted, that kind of thing, and get a nice framework of rookie warp. And another thing that I wanted to bring up on this one is you and I talk about it all the time about building contenders and people just like plugging rookies into like starting spots going like, this dude's going to smash for me. This will show you how fucking unlikely that actually is to happen. Now, I'm not saying it can't, because we see some massive fucking warp guys on here. We'll start. We got a sample size of 76, Adam, first off.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, I was just going to say to that point, because you can probably think, I mean, just last year there was a few. When the rookies do smash, like, they end up probably being very, very meaningful. But to the point you're making, we're talking about since 2007, more often than not, they don't smash and they're actually not a meaningful player at all. But when they do happen, I mean, sure, there's some massive fucking hammers.
11 quarterbacks, 35 running backs, 28 wide receivers, and only two tight ends. Two tight ends. Now, without looking at it, thinking back to 2007, can you name me the two tight ends who hit over a 1.0 warp?
Well, I mean, Sam LaPorta, easy layup from last year, right? Gotta yep. be.
Who's the other?
Let me think about this one here.
50%. This is like BDG trivia. This is South.
I'm going to say
BDG
as
trivia.
Good as Kyle Pitts' rookie season was, he probably didn't hit 1.0 warp, did he?
Final answer, or do you want to phone a friend?
No, I was just, I'm thinking aloud. I'm going back through the years. So Kyle Pitts is, I'm going to say, while it was a great season, is not a 1.0 warp because he also didn't score many touchdowns. I'm trying to think here.
I think he only had one touchdown that year too, right?
Yeah, one. People were, and I was arguing like, you know, positive regression is coming.
Yeah, Ryan. I love when I do podcasts with Eric. I always get to throw in the major league reference. One touchdown. One goddamn touchdown.
Evan Ingram.
No, it actually was Kyle Pitts, so you were on the right track. Okay. First. Yeah, you were on the right track first time. Only two tight ends. Interesting.
All right. Those are my three guesses. So I had it and then pivoted. Damn it. All right.
Number one rookie year warp of all time. Cam Newton.
That season, for those if you can't remember, you didn't actually, you know, play fantasy back. Mike, he was a fucking god in fantasy football in his rookie season. The rushing, the amount of how bad that team was and the amount of times that he was forced to throw the ball, like his stats were just stupid weekly.
Didn't he come out his first 2 weeks and throw for over 400 yards as well?
Yeah, he was. I mean, they had no choice. That team was so bad. If he wasn't running, he was forced to throw. It was just like the perfect storm for a quarterback like Cam.
Saquon Barkley, Matt Forte, Alvin Kamara, Ezekiel Elliott. Oh, I remember those rookie years fondly. Saquon Barkley damn near broke fantasy coming in as a rookie. And if we want to go back to the old school way of looking at it, what he finished as like RB3 overall or something like that his rookie year?
I mean, you're talking about the glory years, Mike. That's 2016, 2017, 2018, which for those of you that want to hate, part of that was baked into why we were still arguing running backs a little while ago, you know? get off our nuts, all right?
We're not that old. Odell Beckham, RG3 is an interesting one, too, because of all the comparisons I've made to not only the team, the situation, the style with Jaden Daniels, and you're like, hey, maybe. Maybe RG3 was special.
You know what's crazy about – so is this points per rookie points – rookie warp per game?
Rookie warp overall. So right there listed 2.82, 2.6, 2.4, so on and so forth.
So like the thing about Odell, he missed some time early in the
sure
year.
Did.
Coming
and
off
it
an
still,
injury.
And
so
it still didn't matter.
Still didn't matter. That's crazy. But I'm actually Malik Nabers, Mike. I keep going back to that Odell season. It's funny you brought this up. Like I could see, I do think Eli was a little better at that time when Odell was there as far as being a good quarterback for him, but Odell was the only thing in town that the Giants had, and I could see Malik, maybe not quite to this fucking outrageous degree, but Like Odell Light, I could see it in the range of outcomes from a league because he's going to be getting so many targets, and I think he's that good. But yeah, his season, and remember, he just took the whole world by storm with that. Was it on Sunday night or Monday night, that one handed catch, and then it just went bananas from there
against Dallas while getting interfered with.
That was insane. The flag comes out, didn't matter. It was amazing.
Didn't matter. Najee Harris,
not sorry.
Jamar Chase, Kareem Hunt, Doug Martin, the muscle hamster.
Bro, Kareem Hunt. Mike, do you remember in the first game? So he fumbles. So I had him in a keeper league. All right. I was not in Dynasty yet, but I was like, I was about to get into Dynasty, right? I had him and I'm like, all right, this is exciting because they had the injury to Spencer. Was it Spencer Ware?
Spencer Ware. Yes, sir.
Yeah. So Kareem Hunt gets like one of these first carries starting, fumbles that thing, gives it right to New England. You're just thinking, like, fuck, is his whole career going to be fucked because of like this happening? And he, in that same game, ended up just going bananas. He had an unbelievable season in 2017. Ridiculously good.
Steve Slayton. Steve Slayton, West Virginia.
I would not have guessed he was that high up. I actually remember this. This was like my first year in college, and I was, you know, playing in a pretty fun fantasy league. But, man, I didn't guess he was this good. That's wild to me.
The Pat White, Steve Slayton days at West Virginia.
Yeah, man.
Speaking of NCAA football.
Because I went to school at Wheeling Jesuit, which was in West Virginia, and people were so excited about him.
We play in that that college football game. I used to play with West Virginia all the time because of those two. And, hey, the baby's coming back. We got a release date, Adam, July 19th.
Dude, it's so funny because that was around the same. Now, that wasn't when the game was done, but that was around like the last times when I was playing that game. I remember in the dorms just played that game daily. Yeah, always had that game in there, you know.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to schedule some time off. You know, listen, no offense, people, we might miss a show or two during the week.
I'll be honest with you. It's gonna come from somewhere. It's gonna come from either a show or sleep. But I'm gonna be playing that damn game. It's because the memories are gonna be coming back.
I tell you what, we could just double dip it. We could play the game, but we could just live stream it.
We should. We talked about that. We should do it. I might be terrible, but at first, but I'll get my feet wet. You know,
we'll figure it out. Justin Herbert, Justin Jefferson, Jonathan Taylor, Chris Johnson, Puka Nacua being up here on this list tells you how good of a season he had. Very elite company. All right, that's
James
just somebody.
Robinson, man.
James Robinson, yeah. So let's talk about. Let's dive right into that. Adam, okay. UDFAs to make this list.
Is he the only one? Yeah,
he's the only one.
Right,
the only one ever. So when you go out there and you pick up this year's UDFA, just know that the odds of them winning you a league, being an elite player.
Yeah, you're looking for the next James Robinson that hadn't happened ever before. You know?
The one and only since 2007. Quarterbacks, we got a total of 11. And the big thing here is I want to know, like, where did they come from? When were they drafted? 9 out of the 11 quarterbacks, Adam. It's a pretty big sample, majority of them. First round guys.
Okay.
We got one.
Where were the other? Oh, Dak was a 4-round guy. Okay.
We got one in the 3rd and one in the 4th. So let me just sort it here for you.
So we got Russ and Dak.
Russ and Dak. Those are your two guys. Okay. That's it for quarterbacks. That's all 11. The rest of them, first rounders. So all them like Spencer Rattlers trying to carry you to a championship, unlikely.
I mean, certainly unlikely. You're looking to chase, you know, the Dak Prescott, the day 3 quarterback. People forget, too. Like, Dak Prescott, both of these guys define odds. It was actually in a video I touched on both these guys. How Russell Wilson, they just brought a contract into Matt Flynn. And Dallas had a ton of money still tied up in Tony. He had the back injury, and Dak Prescott with Zeke also on this list in Warp, right? They were unbelievable. They started so damn hot, and you're like, well, I guess Tony's cooked. But yeah, you're talking about outliers. Those are the outliers of outliers. Mike, look at the rest of these guys, not just first round picks. They're all top fucking 10, 12 picks.
Yeah.
It's not like they're like later first rounds. These guys are high, high draft capital. Cam Newton 1 overall, RG3 2, Justin Herbert's 5, Andrew Luck 1 overall, CJ Stroud, what was he, 2? Jameis Winston, 1. Like, Mike, 1 overall, Kyler Murray. Deshaun Watson, I think, is the outlier at 12, right? And then Daniel Jones at 6. These are incredibly high draft capital guys.
The elite of the elite. So when Zach Wilson goes 2 overall and people are like, he's terrible. there's still a reason that I'm interested. Daniel Jones makes this fucking list, Adam. And that was a second-round rookie pick.
And also, Mike, he didn't start till week three.
It was a second-round rookie pick. So, just more to my point about why I draft Bo Nix and Michael Penix. Listen, I'm chasing draft capital at quarterback for a good reason. If I'm going to find a hit, it's going to be usually within that range, for sure.
For sure.
And the elite guys. I mean, you got some like later drafted quarterbacks. Lamar played in his rookie year, didn't make the list, though.
Right. He didn't have enough time played.
Didn't have enough time, right. So at least at the quarterback position, man, round one draft capital means everything. That's why I get so excited when quarterbacks go in the round one of the NFL draft. And then anything outside that, okay. Maybe.
It's just that I'm not expecting them to dominate early in their career, right? Like it's a later breakout probably.
How about running backs? We got a sample size of 35, the biggest of everybody on this list. But to what you kind of brought up earlier, we did have a hell of a heyday of running backs running the world in fantasy football. It was fun times. But 35 total running backs, 15 of them in round one, 9 in round two, 3 in round three, only 1 in 4, 1 in 5, and 2 6-rounders. And then, of course, we mentioned UDFA, James Robinson.
Yeah, and I think, you know, this kind of speaks to kind of what I was talking about last night a little bit on AMA, where the round two running backs are going to get a better chance, a better crack early. Now, it doesn't mean that a round three guy can't. What do we have? Three? You said three, correct? So we got Kareem Hunt, Kamara. Who's the third on there from round three?
You have six from round three.
Six? Oh, I thought you said three. Okay, so what are the six there?
We'll look at it here.
Through.
Yep. Right. It's a big list. It's a massive list.
I'm looking. The running backs are everywhere. Kamara, okay.
Kareem Hunt. Steve Slayton. Antonio Gibson.
Oh, Gibson. I forgot about Gibby.
Kevin Smith. 2008 Kevin Smith out of UCF.
Yep. Remember him? Okay. Yep. And we got one more maybe.
David Montgomery.
Oh, Montgomery. He had a really good finish his rookie year, yeah. Yep. I think that's six, right?
Yeah. Yep. There's your six.
Got it.
What about these guys round four? Who's the only round four guy here?
I saw Jordan Howard. Let's see.
Right there. Damian Pierce.
By the way, Mike, Damian Pierce was, you captured lightning in a bottle because his value went to smithereens the next year, right?
Sure did. Jordan Howard, the only round five guy.
Jordan Howard was a fucking beast that year, though.
Two dudes from round six, Alfred Morris being one, and Elijah Mitchell.
Okay. Elijah Mitchell feels very much like the James Robinson thing.
Nobody from seven. So just looking at it holistically, kind of like quarterbacks, you go on round one, I'm heavily interested in you. Heavily interested at running back, which is a rarity. Even Najee Harris made the list, right? And there's a lot of people didn't like him, but it paid off for him. Round two, check. Round three, check. Outside of that, though, one fucking dude in round four. One round four guy, one round five guy, a couple dudes in the sixth, and then just UDFAs.
Yeah. I mean, I think that for me, like round one and round two, I'm paying even slightly more attention. I think this list kind of confirms that. It's not that I don't care about round three. Round three is definitely, to your point, it's a check. Like, it's still an interesting part. You get to day three, though, Mike. It's just, Mike, we got four examples in fucking... It feels like an eternity since 2008. Yeah. Right?
The point. A lot of running backs said that.
Yeah, man. So, like, understand for them to be a warp meaningful player, it's not likely. And we do this. There's nothing else to do. We get excited. We you know, pick up off waivers, Tyrone Tracy's and all that. Take your shot. Like, you might end up getting one, but just understand that you're probably looking at a guy that's going to be a replaceable level player versus someone that's actually, you know, hammering home wins for you.
So Barry made these dope-ass charts just for the year one hit rates, Adam, just so we can contextualize it. So if I go back to quarterbacks, of all the quarterbacks who hit 1.01 warp, 18% of them come from round one, and I'm pretty sure that number's off because the rest of the numbers don't add up. I have to get on them about that one. Damn it, DB. The running backs, though, do look correct. 48% come from round one, 20% from two, 13% come from three, and then the rest is just sprinkled in 2%, 2%, 3%, 6%.
Right. Yep.
Let's see. I could be reading that chart wrong too. Look at me. Yeah.
Damn it, Mike.
I love it. I love it. This
looks
is why
pretty right to me.
The second part looks really right here. Rookie year war percentage draft classes, 82% of the quarterbacks from round one. How about that? That one sounds correct.
Yeah. Well, it's because we got one. We have a single one. In,
you have a single
four.
One. My bad, yeah. DB. I fucked okay. that up. Running backs then, 43% from round one, 26% from round two, and 17% from round three.
I think it speaks to what I was just saying, man. I one and two to me, especially now that one is probably a little more infrequent, right? You get your crazy guys like Bijan and Gibbs, but more often than not, we're not getting ones anymore. So round two and round one for me are like, okay, these are the guys I want to probably bet on more often than not. Three, I'm definitely still betting on. It's not a, it's a little bit lower chance, but it's still meaningful. You get to day three, Mike, and look at the odds. You're just
not good.
You're hoping to get a placeholder. You're just not hoping to get a hammer, I think is the reality. You have to look at it.
Yep. Then we look at it. Let's look at the totals for wide receivers. So you got 28 of them. 16 of them come from round one. 8 come from round two. Wow, cut that shit right in half, didn't it? 2 come from round three. 1 comes from round four. 1 comes from round five. Holy shit, Adam. At least at the wide receiver position, could you have any more night and day? Listen, well, you better be a round one guy. You could make a case for round two guys, and then everything else, fuck out of here.
I'd be interested, Mike. It would be kind of cool in a follow-up episode maybe to really dive into the draft capital of those eight. Like, can we find the threshold?
Sure can. Of,
you know? Maybe there's a bunch of late guys too, but I think that'd be interesting to dive into. But the point is, I think sometimes recency bias will end up skewing our thoughts. Like last year, Mike, I'm curious as we go through this. Obviously, Puka is going to be one of the four guys that were not in round one or two that was a huge warp guy. But it's not a good bet, right? Like, it's just not a good bet if we look at it overall.
There's your eight dudes right there. I highlighted
okay.
them for you.
I'll pull up the draft capital on each one of these guys. Let's go ahead and talk through it, though.
Michael
Let's...
Thomas, Eddie Royal, Jaden Reed, Rashee Rice, DK Metcalf, AJ Brown, Deebo Samuel, and T. Higgins.
Okay. Pull these up.
Is there anybody in there that you could say is like outside the top 50?
I know DK Metcalf for sure was the last pick in round two. He was 64.
Thank you, Eagles, for fucking that one up, too. Just yeah, had to so get JJ Arcega-Whiteside.
Michael Thomas, pick 47. T. Higgins was, I believe, yeah, pick 33. I remember he was really early.
Yep.
Eddie Royal. Let's find out.
We're going way back in the timer scene for Eddie Royal. It's a guy that you forget about.
I wasn't going to remember his at all. Pick 42, though. He's checking it. Rashee Rice. How high was Rashee Rice?
I believe he hit that top 50.
55.
Okay.
55. So we got two now. A.J. Brown, I believe, was barely but inside the top 50 as well. I think he was like late 40s, if I remember right. Oh, he was 51. Just missed.
Just right there.
And Deebo Samuel, I believe he was similar. Let's see. Deebo was pick 36. So right now we're trending. Is that all of them? No, I didn't get Jaden Reed yet. Okay, so Jaden Reed.
The legend Jaden Reed.
Pick 50 on the nose, Mike.
Nailed it.
So the guys after... If we put it directly at 50, if you put it at 51, we really have a threshold. But 51, so guys outside of 50 are going to be A.J. Brown, Rashee Rice, and DK Metcalf.
DK.
So three. So realistically, like, you're looking at if you get top 50 draft capital and north, that's probably a safer bet. Not saying it can't happen, but, you know, we got three scenarios where it's later second round picks.
I got to see who these third round wide receivers were.
I do too.
Let's Tank Dell, out, Tank Dell, and Mike, Terry McLaurin.
I was just gonna say I wasn't sure if Tank Dell actually made it. How he was so close, 1.07. Because Mike, I was gonna say just the recency bias. Tank Dell and Puka are two of the guys. People are, I think, are probably gonna chase this
far
more than
much.
They should. Yep. Right?
They're gonna chase it, thinking it's happened in every class. Where
meanwhile, it never happens since 2007.
You get a one off, and people
and
are
we got McLaurin. Okay.
Yep. Your round four guy, Mike Williams. And no, not USC Mike Williams. No, not Clemson Mike Williams. Syracuse Mike Williams. Let's go back in that time machine.
2010, right? Yeah. Love it.
Mike Williams. And DB and I, he brought that one up to me in DMs. He was like, I never even fucking remembered this Mike Williams. It's like, oh, yeah, I remember him out of Syracuse.
Oh, yeah.
I said, arguably, I think he might have the most success out of all the Mike Williams who played wide receiver in the NFL, to be completely honest.
Not to be confused with Roy Williams either, by the way. No. Just as Mike Williams, right?
No. And then, of course, your round five only guy, Puka. Puka, Puka, Puka.
But if you look, right, you got Mike Williams back in 2010. You got Terry. And then you have the two other occurrences both last year. And I bet you people now, and you already can kind of see it in the way that rookie drafts are going, Mike, with some of the chasing of specific receivers in spots. But
look at this shit. Okay, so I sorted this by just draft capital, Adam. And look at this is your total sample from day three for all positions. That's your total sample. Day three or later.
Dak Prescott, Damian Pierce, Mike Williams from Syracuse, Jordan Howard, Puka Nacua, Alfred Morris, Elijah Mitchell, and then James Robinson technically doesn't even fit that because he's undrafted.
Because he's undrafted, yeah. That's your total sample. Out of 76 fucking names, those are the dudes that you get. That's wild. That's wild when you see it visually, at least for me.
Honestly, I feel like the more I think about it, it's not actually that wild because it's a fucking day three pick. But we, in Dynasty, Mike, we do this because we get so hyped up. Mike, we're on the draft. We sit there and stream a 7-hour day three draft, yeah. Right? There's nothing else to talk about. People get so excited for rookies. But the reality of those rookies, not only to hit, but to hit in year one in a meaningful way is just highly, highly unlikely. So, you know, give the Troy Franklin shit up, will we?
Give it up. Give the Javon Baker thing up.
The Troy Franklin, like, I feel like Troy Franklin, people are like, oh, man, but look, he went to the right spot. Uh-huh. Okay. Go back and show that list again, Mike. We got six people since 2008 or That's seven.
It. That's it.
That have done anything in year one. So stop it.
That's it. And by the way, I forgot to mention this, but 1.0 warp, Adam, just for context, last year, if you wanted to put it, and I ran it for this league, you're looking at a range, right? Because nobody hit 1.0 on the nuts. Jalen Warren was just above it. Cole Kmet just below it, Najee just below it, Jonathan Taylor, Chuba, Christian Kirk, Mark Andrews, Javonte Williams, Trey McBride. So it's not an extremely high fucking bar that we're asking for here on a 1.0 warp. That right. puts you somewhere in that 90 to 100 overall warp player range. That's what the sample size is judging off here. That's what it's judging. So, we're not asking the world here. We're not asking the world. Listen, when I draft you in round four, thinking you're plugging a fucking hole on my team, how likely is it? Probably not. Probably not. It's not really happening. Sure. Let's look at this one. So your total sample sizes for this whole thing, right?
Yep.
How many players we got? Mm-hmm. A total of 2,106 players, Adam. And we whittled it down to 76 dudes who are just like, 1.01 warp, top 100 players in their rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That is whittled down like ridiculous. The amount of samples and shit DB pulled for this is nuts. Is nuts. And then to find out that, yeah, it doesn't happen very much. So to tie everything in together, Koopa put out rookie warp for all your leagues. It's a nice little gray line if you're looking at it. There's a reason that Koopa's out there and he's usually selling his rookie picks on his contending teams because he's like, this shit ain't helping me at all. This more than likely not. I'm not getting anything that's going to like make or break my team for 2024.
Based on odds, you're not only is it not likely, Mike, as far as how many we've had, but now you have to pinpoint which one it is too, right? Based on all the guys that have been drafted with high draft capital.
Oh, I love it. Now DB's top chart makes more sense.
Okay.
Your total sample size with guys with that draft capital, how likely are you to hit a 1.01 warp?
Right. So now if you're a first round, that's what I was, that's what I was thinking, but I was like, wait, Mike is confused and I don't know for sure. So if you're a first round quarterback, there's an 18% chance you're a one or warp higher.
Right? And let me be clear too, because the following episodes, we're going to look at bigger sample sizes. We're going to look at more what I like to call dynasty hit rate charts, where I'm looking at multiple years, right? We're going to do 3-year windows. How likely are you to hit certain thresholds within 3 years? Dynasty value, like dynasty hit rates. This is just looking at, if you want to call it, like redraft hit rates based on draft round. So, yeah, to your point, 18% of first round quarterbacks taken in their rookie year hit 1.01 warp. And that number's fucking green on the chart, Adam. it's a light green, but it's still green.
It's a shade of green. It's not as strong as this really dark Christmas green of running backs of 48. Mike, that just think about that though. Basically half of fucking first round running backs are gonna give you warp. That's the opportunity, right?
Yep.
Mike, you look at even to round two and the difference in round three to me. Now obviously it's not massive, but if you just think one out of every five, Mike, is gonna give you warp at running back. Where you go down to three, all of a sudden it's more like one out of 10 we're getting close to. So yeah. it's a sizable difference, I think, even there. But if you think about that, man, the first round, I can almost tell you as likely the first round running backs that got that draft capital that were shit, the Rashad Pennies of the world, right? Like I can almost tell you the ones that fucked up as much as the ones that hit, because that's how clear and concise it is. Wild.
Wide receivers, first round wide receivers, 24%. So if you just want to say one out of every four. And how many wide receivers do we have drafted in the first round this year?
Fucking felt like all of them. Seven, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was seven, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Seven fucking wide receivers, and I'm saying one out of four is going to give you a top 100 warp season in their rookie year.
Yeah,
that doesn't make me feel very fucking good. It really doesn't.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, though, Mike. If you say that, it's actually lower. If with six, that means only probably one of those six is going to hit you on the quarterbacks, which is really scary.
Yeah.
Now the wide receivers, though, to your point. So if we have seven, that means we're going to see somewhere between two or three. If it's a good class, we'll probably see like three. If it's a not as good class, we might see two that hit out of seven. So,
ooh, rough.
People will be in shambles. Now, here's the thing about. Well, I want to get into receivers later about that. Like, the thing about the market that's so crazy about it is they won't necessarily win games because the warp isn't there. But as long as they don't fucking shit the bed, their value won't drop significantly. But they won't score points to where they're actually winning games for their team.
Yep. When we do episode two of this and we look at long-term warp too, like you'll see the hit rates play out in a grander stage. When we tighten down the thresholds, and we'll tighten them down to the varying degrees, top six, top 12, wide receivers, essentially. I had DB add one in where we go top 48. Which, you know, for quarterbacks and tight ends and running backs, nobody gives a shit. But for wide receivers, you find like top 48. If you can't be a top 48 fucking wide receiver within the first couple of years, what the fuck are you doing? Like, nobody
cares.
We
call that a face planner, yeah.
Nobody likes you. You're done.
Yeah, we call that a face planner. It's over.
But 24% in round one, 10% in round two, and then your single digits, 2%, 1%, 1% for 3, 4, and 5, respectively.
Right.
Whoa. Tight ends, 7%. Only 7% of round one NFL drafted tight ends have ever hit a 1.0 warp in their rookie season.
And we named two of them.
Jesus Christ, that seems terrible. Terrible. Sorry, all you Brock Bowers truthers.
Hold on. So wait a minute. There's a 3%. Is there a third tight end that got this list? There has to be. We said Pitts and we said, who was the other one?
Laporta was the second.
Oh, Laporta was round two. But wait a minute. That means there's another first round guy, no, to get seven versus three.
No, because it's going off of total sample size. So you've had 163 tight ends or 15 tight ends drafted with round one draft capital and 30 with round two.
I see. Okay. Makes sense. So but that's one player is the 7% and one player is the 3%. Got it.
Yep. Yep. Nuts.
Damn, that is crazy.
Because 7%, I'm sure it's more like 3.5 or whatever, but it's rounded. You got 30 30 tight ends with second round draft capital, 15 with first rounder. So right. Your percentage of hit rates is going to double to the round one guy because the sample's half as much.
Not as many guys going round one versus round two, right?
There's some math for you.
Mike Maffin.
We Maffin, even though the total number's the exact same, right?
I get it now. Yep, for sure.
What else he's got on here? Oh, that's crazy. There has literally been no tight end in third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. I guess that happens with only two tight ends. Now, I will say, though, to the tight end point, I'll be interested to see, and maybe you guys got to talk to DB. You got to talk to DB. I can get him a new league, too, with a tight end premium, and we can run it with, if half point tight end premium is kind of becoming vanilla. This one doesn't have any tight end premium. So we'll see what the warp looks like maybe with a half point tight end premium. But talk to DB. Talk to DB and see if he's willing to do it. Because, like I said, he's Jimmy Butler. He's probably worn the fuck out from this.
he's already done quite a bit here. Maybe we'll get to him later, but
we might.
Appreciate you, DB.
It'd be interesting to see if the half point does actually boost up some tight ends, because now you become maybe a flex option, even in a lineup league.
So with all this data out here, let's go back and comb through it and kind of give over some takeaways and some things that were, things I guess to take away or look at when we really kind of dig into the specific hits, the draft capital, and what we're looking at now when we're talking about rookie classes incoming.
So a lot of it is just telling you round one draft capital is king. That should be your starting point for any position, anywhere, other than tight end, just because tight ends don't seem to matter at all. They just don't. More to Cooper's point, he's probably like, yeah, fuck, I've been trying to tell y'all, but nobody listens to me. Stop taking Brock Bowers. Stop taking Ben Sinnott. Stop taking Eric Hall. Stop taking Jatavion Sanders. Just stop. Just stop. Find some turd somewhere else. If you're going to say anything, probably the biggest takeaway for me right off the gate, Adam, is what I talked about with the running backs. If a running back goes in the first round of the NFL draft, that's a dude where you can take it. And if you want to go like plug and play into your lineup right away that following year, you can kind of pencil them in already as maybe a piece who could help you, because the hit rate has been pretty good for year one. Has been really good for year one. Yeah, hit rate for running back in year one has been
tremendous.
Pretty solid. So if they go in round one, that's probably my biggest takeaway. Looking at the whole thing is like, I want them. I want them on my team because I can probably plug them in and just pencil them in as, yeah, you're going to do something for me.
You got a 50. The numbers basically tell me, Mike, I got a 50-50 shot of this guy actually being a very meaningful piece. And the way that values are in Dynasty, you get a guy that means something in points per game and he's young, you get that double bake, right? You get that twice baked potato, man. That's a fucking
production.
You,
and
you get the production and the youth. Like those are the guys that get in the elite range.
Those are your, I'm thinking of like round one, run Bijan, Jameer Gibbs.
Well, what's crazy, Mike, Najee made this list. And if you remember, Najee was a fucking back at the turn value when he was going into year two. Now, it ended up being wrong, but look at the value that you had in Najee after year one, right?
Yeah. Saquon Barkley, how high he was going. Zeke, Najee Harris, Doug Martin.
I wasn't playing Dynasty back then, I'll be honest.
No, that was a redrafter. Chris Johnson. Jameer Gibbs, Bijan.
Imagine Trent the hype Richardson. For Chris Johnson, though, Mike. Like, fucking that dude was just running left and right.
T-Rich. Trent Richardson on here.
What's crazy, Leonard. Mike, imagine having T-Rich and the Browns trade him going into the next year.
Yeah. And then his warp fell off the table.
Right.
Leonard Fournette, Adrian Peterson, Christian McCaffrey. Clyde Edwards-Helaire made the list.
People forget, Mike, he had a couple. First of all, the week one game was crazy. Yep. Him and bananas in week one. And he had a couple other like meaningful games. Now, he didn't give you the wild. People thought he was going to take the world by storm. So like people probably were expecting more like that Chris Johnson 1.7. He snuck in at 1.1. But Todd Gurley,
Josh Jacobs, and Marshawn Lynch.
I will say Josh Jacobs definitely feels like the guy that makes the list. But just it was you were hoping for a lot more the next year. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm hoping for more because he barely made the list at one.
Man, look at all these guys just from last year, 2023.
I feel like that's the other thing. Like, we had a lot of hits in general in 23. I bet you if we go over the numbers, if we were to do it by year, that's the biggest by far. That's, what is that, 10 people?
10 of them. And then you got 22 was only four.
I would bet heavily. The only other one that might make it is 2020 because it was a lot of 2020s.
Oh, we got a ton of 2020s. There we go. That looks like 11. Edges them out by one.
So 2020 and 2023. Interestingly enough, Mike, 2023, we got all that shit. But we, you know, we got 10 warp difference makers. 19's at what, 9? Are you muted?
Yeah, I got so shocked when I saw 2018 as one fucking guy.
Barkley, and that was it. What did? How many was 19? Was it 9? I can't. I'm trying.
Yeah, it's pretty close. Okay. 8.
8, and that was what we thought was 9. That was a poopy class, you know.
Yeah. 2018 though, one dude.
Look at all these other years though. 2017, you got 5. 2016, 4. 2015, 2. 2014, 3. Yeah, you know what, Mike, though? If you look at this, really, realistically, the one thing for the Dynasty Gamer, though, that you can, they can, I bet you, is part of why the Fury is still here, though, you can hang your hat on. Mike, like 2008, what is that? 6? 5.
Yep, 5 guys.
Mike, it's like a burger, man. Speaking of burgers with onions on it. Dude, go up 2020 and 2023. That's, so you're talking, Mike, that's, any, if you included 19, so if you go 19, 20, and 2023, we're almost a half of this whole sheet.
Yeah, you're over half.
So that at least speaks to people chasing this points per game, because in the existence of it from 2007, since 2019, we're almost half of them come from that spot. So we are seeing, actually, you can see a trend of where there is more meaningful points per game. There's bigger numbers of them hitting, but I just feel like we have to make sure that we're being reasonable about, even in this range, Mike, if it's not round one or round two, all those people, it's still very fucking few and far between that are actually hitting. Like that, yeah. That's the thing that you have to, I think, really talk about when we go through these numbers, man. There's day three people, even round three people in this mix. It's just few and far between. And you can chase them. You should, you know, invest in them, take your shot. But just understand how big the differences are in an actual meaningful production likely.
I like that point, like figuring it out here. I mean, from 2019 onwards. 41 of the 76 sample sizes come from there. Just those classes.
It's over half.
Yep. I'm no expert there, but that is over half.
Might be something to keep your pulse on, man. Like, these rookies are starting to hit at a higher clip earlier, you know?
They're hitting at a higher clip. They're producing earlier than they ever have at a bigger group sample size, right?
For sure.
I think the thing to be more conscious of, though, how many of these guys, when you scroll through, got round 4, round 5, round 6. Not, it's still very many. Few.
Exactly, Mike. Yes. That's the key takeaway right now for me. Yep.
Your round 1 and your round 2 guys are producing earlier, and they're producing at a better clip, and they're making the list immediately. But people think that applies to everybody. Rookies right. are hitting at a better rate. Let's go.
That Damian Pierce got me in there. A flash in the fucking pan, you know.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited to dive into 3-year averages, 2-year averages, overall hit rates, and then you'll really see how bad it is and how bleak it is. But
for sure,
really, this is kind of a redraft dynasty show. Actually, we'll call it. I'm not going to do the redraft thing. We'll call it the contenders version of rookie hits.
But I think, Mike, though, this also speaks to, I think, a little bit as well. For me anyway, one of my biggest takeaways from doing a lot of these dynasty leagues, and in particular when I would hoard picks, like, you're not likely to fuck up a bunch of first and second round picks in rookie drafts, even if you draft them. The biggest thing is, the longer you hold on to them, the longer you have to actually completely burn out the value, right? So you'll have some that really hit and jump and catapult into the, you know, next stratosphere. Look at the top of this list, right? CJ Stroud, Gibbs, Bijans. Those guys go bananas. Sam Laporta's value goes from a 208 to a fucking, you know, a third round startup pick. But you have a lot of guys mixed in there where their value kind of stays the same, maybe went up a little bit. But if you were just to pivot off of some of these guys and just diversify your team with a lot of those young rookies and get out of some of them at their year one value off of this warp, and you don't hold it all the way through, which we can get into that point a lot deeper when we talk about the second year and the third year, you know, overall averages. Because the longer you hold and the more cemented this player's production becomes and the profile becomes, the more you're going to be stuck with whatever that is, right? That's just going to be cemented as what their value and price is.
I think it's a good point there just to talk about it. Now we'll dive into some specifics, but I would say you're probably right on that, Adam. Like after you hit in year one, you're like, oh, look, I found money. Look at this one. That's probably the time where if you're a savvy dynasty manager, you go, all right, we're good. Catch up.
Mike, for example, like, and this is one of the biggest things I've been doing on my teams, especially when I can. Now, obviously, it's not as easy as getting everyone in all my leagues to buy into it, but like Jaden Reed's the world, right? So the Jaden Reed, he barely fits the top 50 threshold. He's a round two guy, and the situation and the profile is still spotty when you think about it, right? His value is at a spot where, okay, he could defy the odds and end up being a, you know, in 3 years, like a guy that went up some. But the risk and reward for him, significantly worse on the risk side. And so when you can pivot off of those guys in a portfolio idea, it just makes sense to do that, right? And I think, like, again, like Tank Dell, man, similar type of beat where, all right, you had one of these round three guys actually produce for you. He got that for you. And I know people don't want to get off of their Tank Dell. They're all excited. Brother, I get it, but you're playing with fire. In a year from now or 2 years from now, Tank Dell could be half of his value of what he is right now. And I'm not exaggerating, literally a half of it. It could be halved.
So we got two columns here for these guys. Your rookie year and then a 2 year average, right? So I'm just looking at 2022, the guys who made the list. You had one that just completely fell off the face of the earth in Damian Pierce. This is a 2 year average, mind you. So if your total Pierce average is 0.6, that means you were really fucking bad if you were a 1.0 in your rookie year.
Pierce was one of the guys that, like, yeah, fell off the cliff in a hurry.
Kenneth Walker basically did the same. Garrett Wilson went up a little bit.
Javonte kind of did that.
Chris Olave, yeah. Had the injury, right?
Yeah. Oh, well, actually, Elijah Mitchell and Damian Pierce, same picture, right?
Yes. Yes, I was looking to see if I could highlight anybody else in here. Those two, Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, Kyle Pitts, fall off, yep, 100%.
Javonte, Elijah Mitchell, like you touched, what about 2020? Pretty big year.
Not as bad. Daniel Jones went down a little bit.
Ayuk, he had that doghouse year in year two.
The crazy part is even there, though, like he almost makes the list again. He went from 1.14 to, even with that bad stretch, 0.992. So it was a fall off, but nothing crazy. Clyde Edwards-Helaire a little bit.
CEH. Jonathan Taylor went up by a lot.
Yeah, a lot of these guys you'll actually see, though, they do go up. And look at J.K. Dobbins, brother.
Yeah.
Amazing to see that. For a guy that's values cratered to nothing. 1.008 2 years in a row. Wild.
Well, he probably doesn't get knocked at all in DB sample size because he didn't play the entire year.
Yeah, okay.
Towards ACL, right? So he just carries it over.
Right.
Interesting there. Because, yeah, if you look at the three-year average, he goes down to
0.7. Oh, that's right. The average. He just didn't play that whole season. Duh. That's why it's the exact same.
Doesn't count against him. Yep. That one makes more sense.
Debo, Mike. Look at Debo.
Look at that guy.
1.07 to 0.74.
The fall off.
Okay, here's the biggest fall off we've seen so far is Leonard Fournette.
Yep. Uncle Lenny.
1.4 to 0.55.
Woof.
Wow.
Woof.
Almost impossible.
Nuts. Nuts. You're right. So there are some landmines in there. It doesn't seem like it's added like a super high clip, though. I'd say at best, what, 10%, 15%? somewhere in there.
Yeah, well, okay, now this is the thing. The warp isn't necessarily likely to half. But if the remember, in Dynasty, it's this youth movement, and then we get more excited, and we expect a little bit better. So you see a lot of these guys, they trend similar, or it's a little better in production, right?
It's the what have you done for me lately.
Yeah, so like, but even like Najee, right? And look at Najee. Najee went from a 2.2 to a 1.8, and his value cratered. So the point is, I think, Mike, if the warp goes down in year two, that means all that shine, all that excitement didn't capture, didn't hit. And that's where the value, I think, in Dynasty really starts to crater. We'll give you a pass if there's a scenario like it's a Drake London, who didn't actually make this list, because we're saying we know it will hit, but he just need quarterback, right? But if you have shown us warp and then you dip in warp, that's where I think the Dynasty value starts to, you know, dwindle. And then if it gets worse going into year three, you're talking a whole nother ball game, like Trent Richardson, 1.4, 0.7, 0.4. His value is dust, right?
I love it too, just because we have such a big sample size and DB did such a good job. The lowest warp, just sort of like who is the biggest detriment to your team?
Over
RG3.
Wow.
But, you know, that's probably in his backup year with, like, the Ravens or something, maybe played a game or two.
That's his total lowest warp. Okay, in seven years. Makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, he's going back to 2012, so.
Look at Andrew Luck.
Yep. Yep. Elijah Mitchell, probably the most recent example, negative 0.029 warp, so below replacement player.
Correct.
And that's the most recent one from 2021.
Yep.
Then Damian Pierce, that fits. CEH, Miles Sanders.
Miles Sanders, right.
Yeah. These are like the J.K. Dobbins. Like, these are the who's who of the ones lately.
Javonte.
Saquon is going to hit that because he had that ACL.
Yep.
Injury season.
Makes sense.
How about your career highest warp? Oh, my God.
Look at CMC.
This brings you back.
If you held through the injuries with CMC, by God, you got yourself someone that's goated. Mike, I'll tell you right now, CD Lamb.
Look how high he is up on that.
He's at basically three. Mike, I'm telling you right now, I don't think there's enough conversation about CD being wide receiver one in Dynasty.
I think you're right. As much as I like to give Fizzle shit, I think we should be a little bit more apt to this.
Because if he does anything near the second half of the season for a full clip, Mike, he'll pass CMC, I bet you, on this list.
He is a tenth above Justin Jefferson's best season so far to this point.
Right.
Another guy we value very highly, Ja'Marr Chase. Look at that. Almost a full game. It's how much more impactful CeeDee Lamb has been in his best season versus Ja'Marr Chase's best season.
Right.
I think that's something to keep in mind. And then the last one I just wanted to look at here because Barry did such a good total career total warp. The leader of the clubhouse, Russell Wilson.
Mr. Unlimited.
I love these names. And this is going to be a longevity thing.
Look at Cam Newton, man.
Everybody here is double digits. It's not till you get to CMC with 7 years, just on how good he's been in 7 years, that you find it. And then Adrian Peterson playing 15 years, like he did all right. He did all right. He's always hung around. Compiler. But Russ being up here was like, what? Really?
Well,
Mike
the thing
Evans?
Is, people forget how good he was for how long in Seattle, I really think, you know?
Yeah. Matt Forte, Julio Jones, Cam Newton.
I mean, you're talking about the who's who's of, like, a lot of great seasons, though, there, you know. Alfred Morris, all the way to the bottom.
Look at Alfred Morris's career total warp. It's negative.
If you kept him after that, you know, round six guy who had a good year one, if you kept him the whole time, he hurt your team more than he helped you.
Oh, man, some of these names down here. Rashee Rice is only one season. Tank Dell only one season. So, you know, we don't knock them. But for multiple season guys, Steve Slayton, Elijah Mitchell, Eddie Royal, and negative warp Alfred Morris. Alfred.
Yeah.
You think he ever sold that car?
I hope he didn't. I love that little Mazda, man. That thing was
think
so
he still
sweet.
Got it?
I hope so.
Still trucking along. Like 600,000 miles on it by now.
That was so sweet. Him pulling up in that in the Hard Knocks, man. That was awesome.
No, Adam, that's all I got. It was just 1 year rookie warp. Then when we come back next week, we will dive into multi-year, have more discussions about it, more hit rate charts thrown at you. And we'll tell you even more so why it's a bad idea to be drafting Javon Baker, thinking like you're finding the next Puka Nacua. Probably not happening.
I mean, listen, I think at certain costs, like, he's probably going too high right now. But just understand that I think I'll say this with the guys like those draft capital guys. If you're drafting them and you're getting to the later parts of the round, I understand at a certain point you got to shoot your shot. But I think this, what this all speaks to also, I think a good takeaway is this is talking about it's the whole season totality in their rookie year. So let's say a guy like Javon Baker, Mike, has, you know, a decent little week and then has a pop week. That is probably, and people will never want to hear this and never want to do this, but actionable advice is that is probably a great time to find someone that's trying to buy the Javon Baker hype.
Yep.
Because guess what? I have a sample size that says the amount of people that are going to replicate that success for a full season with his profile and his draft capital, single digits since 2007.
Single digits.
You're looking to get one of the very few that we've ever seen. Now, granted, if you look at the course of 2019 to 2023, that's where most of them have happened. But just understand that it's still very small in that scenario. So I think that's the one thing to really look at with rookies for me, Mike, is when I have a bunch of shares of these guys, if I have a lot of guys that their profile's a little iffy and I have shares of them more than I probably want to, you get spike weeks on, you know, you get a little buzz. It's a perfect time to sell. People just don't like to do it. It's not fun. Everyone wants to hope that they have they're chasing the next great thing.
We haven't even talked about all the guys in here who didn't make the list, right? On your point, who had those one or two pop weeks, spike weeks, whatever you want to say, and people start generating buzz on them. I think people get pissed off because last year, we talk about process though, Adam, and you can even put yourself in the situation as a person who bought shares. Right, who bought shares of Puka Nacua. But you can't tell me that the right process overall, just looking at it holistically from a 10,000-foot view, isn't. When they go off in week one or two and they climb and people are really starting to get excited about them, the right process is to sell them for a nice profit and just get out.
Yeah, I think, and Mike, here's the thing with Puka, right? I didn't start to buy in until I think it was at least, like after week three where he was getting – at that point, multiple weeks in a row of an unreasonable amount of sample of targets.
Yeah.
Like leading the NFL in targets, and the amount of production he was giving for me was I'm willing to bet against what the process is because it's so good. But I think, Mike, if it was, let's say, his Trey week three Palmer. Or week four would have come down significantly, okay, yes, this is now a guy where I'm not betting on that. I think one of the ones for me, Mike, that really sticks out is, I don't know if you remember this, but Rondale Moore in his rookie year, he had a massive week. He had it was at least a touchdown and over 100 yards. And there was so much hype in the community around him. And I remember vividly, I had a trade out there with T-Rock where I could have sold him. T-Rock was willing to give me a 23 first, but I was like, nah, I need a 23 first and second. Like, nah, man, I'm not just letting you get Rondale for this. And I remember vividly, it killed the deal. I wanted too much. And on that fucking same team, Mike, I have Rondale Moore. And it speaks to this to a fucking T. And Rondale Moore is not going to end up leaving my team because no one's buying him in Atlanta now. Like, it's just a dead weight thing. I fucked up. I should have taken the 23 first. And in hindsight, had I understood this to the degree I do now, that 23 first offer was a smash break my phone accept.
Should have taken it.
You know, I think that the reality is you only learn – if you sit here and can learn through the podcast and learn through stuff like this, great. That's the whole idea. So you don't have to get burnt yourself. That's why we do this. But for me, a lot of times, Mike, getting burned on these type of things throughout the past has helped me really contextualize what I'm seeing here on paper, right? Because I have the experience of being burnt from those trades.
Yeah, to put a whole bowl on it, though, Adam, like to your point, to the hit rate charts, where they come from by draft capital. Listen, if you got a round one wide receiver that goes out there in the first couple weeks and has a couple massive games, yeah, you don't have to sell him. Like, you don't have to get off him. You see that the odds are that, hey, it happens. It happens, right? We got that round four wide receiver, to your point, the Javon Baker, the Troy Franklin. You got that round two wide receiver where you know, like, the hit rates come down significantly, where they're still there. They're still there, so you can make a case if you really wanted to. But the right process play is the Rondale Moores of the world. in round two, like starting there with those round two guys. You love Adonai Mitchell, but if Adonai Mitchell comes out in the first couple weeks and does something or has a big game, and somebody's like, hey, Adam, I'll give you a 25 first, well, take it.
Well, that's where, like, he's a really good example too, Mike, because he's similar to Rondale in that, you know, there was enough buzz, people are still really excited. And if he does have that type of a thing, he's going to be the perfect example of Rondale to a degree where it's going to be so hard for people to do it, right? Because it's like, oh, man, see how fast he is, how electric he is. He could be different. Like, he could be special. Are you willing to put that aside because you saw that in that moment for like, all right, man, but look at how many outs this 25 first has. This could end up being a mid-25 first. Are we really betting higher than that for Adonai Mitchell? I'm not saying you can't, just I think you should understand what's at stake. That's all.
I think it's a spectrum, right? It's a spectrum. So I'm talking about a round two guy. And if you wanted to say, no, I hold, you know, fine. There's enough data to tell you that maybe you might be right. Now, the odds are definitely less than a first rounder, but it's
fine. Can I tell you, Adonai, though, after fifth, we just went through this on the show, Mike. There's three receivers actually after pick 50, which he would be also,
yes,
that make this list. So he's even further in that camp.
So he's even further in that camp. Yes. So all that stuff comes into play. But I'm telling you, once you get to round three, right?
True.
Once you get to round three, just don't even think about it. Don't even think about it. Just sell it. Now, the only one I'll give you, Adam, is you're right. You didn't buy him till later, the Puka thing. And you bought a guy who was setting historic NFL rookie type numbers, right?
Yes. it was both, Mike, to your point, yes, it was both in quantity and in quality. He was doing it to a higher degree than we've seen, and it was in consistent back-to-back-to-back weeks. So it's like, fuck process at a point for him. But
that's fair.
The only thing is, Mike, you have to understand, like, that's something we've never seen before. If you can see and point to things that we've never seen before that basically throws this sheet out the window, that's a separate thing.
Yeah.
But most times it's not going to be that. Guys, it's not going to be a guy getting 17 fucking targets a game in day three draft capital.
It's right? going to be Michael Wilson. It's going to be Trey Palmer. It's going to be Wilson. Pop Douglas. It's going to be something
absolutely
of the,
nuked now, right?
It's going to be something of that ilk where the right process is just take the fucking pick, man. Just take the pick. Take the pick. Take the player pivot to a vet. I don't give a shit. Just get off of it because your odds are terrible.
Well said, 100%. Great way to end on this show, man.
Fantastic. Hit us with that outro, and then we'll come back real strong next week for the second part of it. One, I'm really excited about to dive in a little bit further with multi-year.
I am too, man. I'm really excited about this. It's been something I've been thinking about. I definitely like to talk through this with you know, some of the dynasty values and things that I've been thinking about. But just remember, when your league mates are playing chess, play 4D chess.
That's going to do it. We'll see you back here same time, same place next week. And reminder, if you want access to this chart, Wrinkled Brains chat in the Discord, the $8 tier, DB drop and heat constantly, as well as all the other really dope content creators, really dope people. We got Koopa posting stuff in there. That is a great underutilized channel. It has been a best ball takeover, though, for Underdog, and I don't like it. No offense to Underdog. I'm just I'm Dynasty all the time, Adam. What the fuck?
Yep, absolutely, man. And by the way, yeah, you know, if you're listening to this and you want to follow along, go into the Patreon, check this sheet out. You'll have access to pool, play with it all along. It's amazing when you look at the data here, how incredibly important draft capital really is as far as likely success. But that's all we got, man.
Says it all. We'll see y'all. Peace.
Peace.